Olympic City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. It's really hard to, like, project my voice like that. You know, I kind of struggled a little bit. But hey, what's up, Curtis? How are you doing today on this lovely, at the time of recording, Monday afternoon?
Doing well. This is not an April Fool's Day joke that I'm here, but I'm honored to be co-hosting, guest hosting with you.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for being here. I mean, you are literally carrying a lot of the producing portion of the USA Volleyball Show, and it's good to get you here on some interviews, man. So how's life? How's everything going with you?
I've been good. It's been busy. Just prepping stuff for Olympics, Paralympics. We've got the women's sitting team coming to town next or 2 weeks or so for media day. So that's going to be super fun, which I'm looking forward to, because when I first got hired on January 2020, my very, very first event, maybe 2 weeks into actually starting my job, was women's sitting media day. So that was cool to just kind of get thrown right into the fire and get to meet. And all of the team members are awesome, too. They're all such great people. So looking forward to seeing all of them again. And as mentioned in a previous episode, my wife is actually pregnant. So very life changing. Lots of new things happening. Baby prepping, planning, proofing, all of that. So very busy. But how about you? What's been going on in your life?
I hate to say the same old, but it's the same old. Been really Salt Lake City heavy, planning logistically there, you know, getting everything out to staff, working, getting everything sorted out with the Salt Palace Convention Center, working, all that other good stuff there, and a little bit to do at Opens as well, and, you know, traveling for my club team as well. I'm having practice soon. So again, just event managing and coaching, all that good stuff. I actually just got back from Spokane, Washington, literally at like 1 a.m. this morning, and have been catching up on those things there. And then I actually leave for Salt Lake City tomorrow early afternoon, and I'll be there for basically half the month. So yeah, and I got a week when I get back on the 16th, and then it's GGNC National in Baltimore. Wow, it's already almost busy. National time.
Insane. Busy. But if you're in where is Salt Lake, then go stop and say hi to Clarence. He'll be out there running the show.
I'll be running.
Are you the tournament director for that event?
I am.
Awesome. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got some exciting stuff coming up for this episode, too. But before we get into this episode, Curtis, you want to go ahead and let them know what they missed last week?
Yeah, so we had a great episode, which we sat down for episode 88 with a world champion. Yes, that's right. I'm talking about the U.S. Beach National Team athlete, Sarah Hughes. Sarah shares all about the season going into the Olympic year. She talks about how she was introduced to the game, how now she's partnering back up with Kelly Chang, or has partnered back up with Kelly Chang, and also talks about them partnering up with NBC to kind of hype up the Olympics. Got to meet Snoop Dogg, so that's super cool. Talks all about that and so much more. So be sure to check that episode out because it's super awesome. Stream it anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can watch it on YouTube or at usavolleyball.org.
Total sidebar, that video of them peppering is still going, it's still viral across a few channels here too. Also, if you scroll them through social media, and it still pops up like regularly, which is so insane. So
it's constantly. I'm so jealous they got to pepper with Snoop Dogg. That's mm-hmm. So cool.
D-O-double-G.
So we didn't do this the last time I hosted. So now it's time for the news with Hughes.
All right, on the news. The Pro Volleyball Federation's inaugural season is going strong. Tune in weekly for matches, and those matches are also streaming for free. See some of our national team athletes like Kendall White or friend of the pod, Morgan Hetz. Tune in so you don't miss any of that action there. If you love having even more pro volleyball in the U.S., because there's going to be more coming up in years to come, and soon we'll be able to watch it all year long. Just a reminder here, the 2024 Boys Junior National Championship registration, Girls 18s, GGNC 11s through 13s, 14s through 17s, opens and Beach National registrations are all open. Total side note, I think my club team has a first chance ever opportunity to get a bid. It'll be a triple down bid or Patriot bid to actually compete at National this year too. So
wow,
first time in club history. Shout out to that team right there. Team Velocity 17 Black.
Goes to them and you.
Mm-hmm. But still on this news here, register for all these events so you don't miss your chance to become the next national champion. Tickets are available for the USA Volleyball Hall of Fame on May 22nd in Columbus, Ohio. Join USA Volleyball as we celebrate all-time greats such as Kathy DeBoer, Carl McGown, Dane Blanton, Robin Amo, and another friend of the pod, Reed Pretty. I can't wait to see how to read in person. That was such a fun episode, man. That's a great guy right there. Anyways, tickets on sale and available on our website, usavolleyball.org. A big congratulations to Elena Chacon and Mariah Whalen for winning silver at the Beach Pro Tour Future Coolangatta Beach. Follow along all the action on USA Volleyball social media and for all on the latest news, more on the latest news, excuse me there, make sure you visit usavolleyball.org. Now, on today's show, we sit down with Paralympian and U.S. Men's Sitting National Team member James Stuck. James talks to us about his time serving in the Army. Again, thank you so much for your service, James. How he was introduced to the game of sitting volleyball. Shares his Paralympic experience from Rio. James also talks about this season's goals for the team, as well as what it's going to take to earn a spot in the 2024 Paris Paralympics and the World Paravolley last Paralympics qualifier, so much more. An amazing interview. I'm just going to say that from jump right now. Very, 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 very thankful that James took the time to sit down with us to interview and really took the time to have such, you know, heartfelt and genuine answers too. But enough of that setup there. Enough for me talking. Let's get into our interview and conversation with James. Well, I mean, just to kind of get started, a little side question here. I think you've had a pretty busy morning. You know, we were originally scheduled to, you know, have the interview, I think around like, you know, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. But yeah, you had some interesting things come up. If you want to maybe touch on those, talk about that.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. It was just it was a little fun one. So I thought it was 10 a.m. Central. So I was like, cool, ready to go.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I was ready to go at 10 a.m., got on, and I'm sitting here, and I'm like... It's like, okay, it's like, let me just go on by. I was like, let me text Curtis real quick. And I'm like, yeah. So he's like, oh no, it's 10 mile time. 11 set. I'm like, oh geez. Okay. So yeah, we had, nothing too crazy. I mean, the kids are on spring break right now. So that's nice having them. My mom's in town from Pennsylvania. So that's a blessing to have as well.
Nice.
We got those two things going on. And then we usually have some, recently we've been having some Fridays off. Today was one of those Fridays that we just had off, but I talked to some of the guys that were building up for our last qualifier in China, getting ready. So I was like, hey guys, let's get in, get a couple extra touches, and tried to get them in, says let's lift and warm up for practice, because the sitting development team is in town right now doing some training. So we have to practice in between their schedules, and they practice in the morning and afternoon. We had a slot open up that was from, what was it? We practiced from 12 to 1. So I was like, cool. So let's get in the gym, guys. Get her in the gym around 10:45. And then I was like, 11 o'clock. I was like, can't do 11 o'clock for this meeting. I was like, just push back a little bit and get this all squared away. So I just got back from practice, had a good time with the guys. You know, last little, not trying to do anything new, just trying to keep our touches going, getting ready. As little time off as possible, building forward to the tournament.
Mm-hmm. So does practice time like that kind of, you know, change and kind of evolve often based off of scheduling availability there? I know that can be kind of tough.
Yeah. I mean, we were very fortunate that we talked about it early in the week and we were able to get the normal group of guys in. Some of the guys have outside jobs and you just got to coordinate with them and build things, adjusting for schedules and know that there's going to be a little bit of change. Some guys might not be able to make it, but fingers crossed, everything works out accordingly.
Action.
So did you get to watch while the development teams were practicing or?
A little bit. A little bit. We so the way the facility's set up is that over at UCO, they have the practice courts are all on the lower level, and the gym kind of oversees everything with a little track that goes around. So every now and again, we're able to poke our heads over, and there's some of the staff there that has worked with the national program and is able to, we're just yell down to them, whether it's a trainer, Brian Farr, who's worked with the men's program for multiple years and recently now has taken on more. He's a professor over at University of Texas.
Oh, cool.
And started doing more with work there. So we now have a different trainer and we're able to yell down to him, say hi, you know, just different staff. That's always nice.
Okay.
Some of the national players, there was a couple of female athletes there from the women's national team that helping out with the development program. Some of the guys might go in a little bit later and help out. I normally would volunteer and help to go in, but right now with my kids, my wife working, and just there's a lot going on in build up for me to be gone for 2 weeks for this last chance qualifier.
You see. Well, before we get into, you know, touching base on the, you know, last chance qualifier, let's start again nice and easy. We know you follow a pretty, you know, strict workout regimen, you know, diet as well. But let's just say, you know, tomorrow, Saturday, your cheat day. what are you doing? When do you get a chance to eat? You know, all I guess.
My cheat days are Saturdays. I mean, Friday.
I'm just giving an example, you know.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're good. Yeah. I cheat every Friday.
How are you going to say it? Every day?
Well, you'll understand when I explain it better. So I can't remember how long ago we started it, but every Friday is family pizza movie night.
Love it.
So, yeah, I mean, we tried to establish it early just because, you know, I mean, hopefully everybody knows kids, they get older, they start trying to be more independent, get things going. My three boys are, what are they? They're 12, 10, and 6. And just as they get older, they're wanting to start being more independent, start wanting to branch out, whether it's Friday night football games or, you know, Saturday night movies with their friends. I'm like, dude, okay, give me all I want is one night. So we started to be a little bit more lenient on which night it is. Sometimes we push it to Saturday, but usually we tried to just hunker down and be like, cool, Friday night, let's find something. Even if we watch the movie 1,000 times, let's get some pizzas, hang out, and just chill and relax.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's at least my one cheat day. I try not to be too strict on my diet just for the purposes of burnout and different things along that line, but I try not to eat too much junk, but, you know, a little snack here, a little snack there. Everything, I've been a firm believer for years that everything's good within moderation, whether it, yeah.
No matter, I agree with like, that.
Yeah, because whenever things start to get completely out of hand is when something is, every meal is pizza or, you know, you're eating ice cream excessive amounts. I mean, different things. I just put a label on those just for no apparent reason at all. But it's just a little bit of ice cream here. Perfect. You know? Oh, cool. Had 2, 3, 4 cookies, whatever. You know, just I would say be smart about your snacks. Be smart about your snacks. Be smart about how much you're ingesting versus the exercise and output you're doing.
So today is Friday that we're recording this episode. So is it pizza movie night tonight? And if so, what's the movie?
The movie.
I was gonna ask what the pizza is.
Oh.
So we're pretty good. We do it's toss up. So Little Caesars has a really good deal on stuffed crust pizzas. But you can't beat the points and rewards for Domino's, you know? So I think tonight's going to be a Domino's. We are a big fan in this household. We're a big fan of the pan pizzas. So the nice thick fat pizzas we do. I mean, everything from just regular cheese to garlic chicken and onion sauce. We do Hawaiian. We'll do just sausage pizzas. So we kind of just keep it random, have some fun with that. The one that stays constant is, go figure, I got kids, cheese. That's a constant. But I mean, we go anywhere from 3 to 5 pizzas. So none of my boys are small. So they, as we all know, growing kids, they just pound the food. The movie, I don't know what the movie's going to be tonight. We just went to the theater and saw Kung Fu Panda 4 this past week.
What'd you think?
It was pretty good. Yeah. Not my favorite of the series, but still pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Good theme with the series and good push towards, you know, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a fifth one, but anymore, who knows?
I was going to say, I mean, it is March Madness kicking off. I think day 2 of men's and, you know, women's starts there. Might be a good night to just watch some basketball. Already got a ton of upsets. My brackets are all busted. So that's all, you know, thing too.
We do a little bit. We'll chime into some March Madness a little bit more towards the end. Some of the boys, like they do, we watch a lot of Thunder. We'll watch some of the Thunder games. We've gone to a couple this year. They really enjoy that. And it's nice being able to take that. Sometimes instead of doing pizza movie night, we've been able to take kids to downtown to go to a Thunder game or something along that line, which is really nice just in, you know, having the kids and being able to move forward in that family setting, you know, looking back. It's like, oh yeah, we did this, we did that. And it's always fun. Mm-hmm. Always fun to look forward to those things.
So changing things up just a little bit, something we like to ask all of our guests, just because it varies between athlete to athlete, but how were you introduced to the game of volleyball?
Oh gosh. So it's a fun story. It's a very interesting story, but fun one, because growing up, I never played volleyball. It was always, played volleyball out in the backyard, you know, basically just catch and throw over the net, different things like that. I grew up playing soccer. I was a goaltender for a number of years. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or just northeast of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and went to a smaller college up there where I went for goaltending for soccer. During the time there, I realized that my life and my career wasn't going to lead necessarily through college, and I went into the military. So did my military time, was injured, and I was hit with a roadside bomb in northern Iraq in December of 2005. And then during my rehab is where I discovered disabled sports. Through the span of 2006 is where I discovered track and field, sitting volleyball, table tennis, swimming. The list goes on and on. But a really... sitting volleyball really resonated with me. So I actually started playing sitting volleyball in a little bit in 2006. I medically retired in December of 2006 from the military and moved to Edmond, Oklahoma in February of 2007 and made the full-time commitment to start playing volleyball full-time. So that was my initial just scene with volleyball. It's kind of crazy. It started with soccer goaltending, and then all my friends are like, oh, we always attributed to how much video games you played, hand-eye coordination, and just capable to do that. And I'm like,
that's the thing.
It is. I attribute a lot to soccer. I attribute being able to move into volleyball, just being able to track a ball and move it around, and then actually goaltending using my hands rather than my feet more. But that's kind of how I was introduced and moved into volleyball.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, that specific hook to what it was with volleyball? Like, I know you kind of mentioned, you know, there's a, you know, greater interest there with all the other sports you did, you know, have the opportunity to try. But like, what was, like, you know, that one thing or maybe a couple of things about volleyball where it's like, you know what, I'm just going to really stay here and see how where this goes.
Yeah, it's a great question. So the nice thing about the really grabby about volleyball and then sitting volleyball in general was the speed of the game and the multiple dynamics. Where so I played growing up And in high school, I played, I played football. I played basketball. I played soccer. I dabbled with some other sports, growing up, you know, lacrosse, swimming, baseball. So I was very sports oriented, but with volleyball, there was just the speed dynamic and the multiple range of different things that can be done. And then obviously all the sports I named minus swimming were all team sports. So just gravitated towards the team sports a little bit more as well. So that was the initial hook. And then learning, for those that don't know, with sitting volleyball, you move with your hands and then you play with your hands too. So that's the, that was kind of a very interesting feat to accomplish, trying to figure out how to play this game, see the game at the speed that it's being played, use your hands and your feet to move and scoot to this ball to be able to play it, to make it better for your teammates to be able to eventually score 1 point. And that's really a nice thing that I was able to really gravitate towards, and kind of just pulled me in a little bit and a little bit. Plus, there was one of the coaches at the time was Dixie Collins, who lives in Washington, D.C., lives in the surrounding area of Washington, D.C., and was able to come to Walter Reed and do a little bit of play and a little bit of different things at that time, which helped facilitate the fact of being able to play. Whereas these other sports, I'd have to do training camps or go to, let's say I went to Chula Vista for one of the Paralympic summits at the time. And that's where in a weekend or in 5 days, you had to play like 7 different sports. And I got this coach who's working with the national program. She comes over to Walter Reed and does this little clinic where we get to play some sitting volleyball, have some fun for the weekend or whatnot, or even just a day. And it was just a lot of fun. So kudos to her. Yeah, she was a great part of the development in the beginning part of my long, long career.
So say there's someone, in a similar boat, kind of getting started, you know, trying to feel out, you know, what adaptive sport would be best for them. What's the advice or what's the initiative to, you know, try sitting volleyball? Is it like, you know, the community? Is it, you know, how you can first be introduced to things? What is it for the people who maybe, you know, may need a little bit of a push?
So there's, I mean, for anybody, I've given advice to anybody that's, whether they're newly injured or they've had an amputation, they've tried a bunch of aspects of life and different walks of life. Try them all, because I love to sway everybody. Everybody come play sitting volleyball. Everybody do this. This is the way of life. This is the way you need to come have fun, play sitting volleyball. You know, in the big picture, sitting volleyball or volleyball is not for everybody. Whereas the next person, somebody that I may think would do great at sitting volleyball, next thing I know, they're excelling at, let's say, javelin, or they're excelling at wheelchair basketball. I encourage, and I'm happy for that, like to the core, just because, getting a little emotional about it. But the thing is that sports were my segue. Sports were my way to make things better. And I encourage anybody to just try. That's the biggest thing. Even if you don't make a national program, or as long as you're getting up, you're moving, you're having fun. That's all you can really hope people do, whether it's even if they're not injured, even if they're just moving through life, they may be having a bad day, but getting up, moving, you know, go play disc golf with some friends, you know, go to the dog park. Hell, even if you don't have a dog, go play with somebody else's dog. They're probably tired of playing with their own dog. Go to the dog park and just be outside and be active. So the best advice I can give to somebody is that try everything, whether it's, like I said, we go disc golf, sitting volleyball, wheelchair basketball, try them all, find your niche, because what worked for me isn't necessarily going to work for the next person, but I can help guide them onto that, or I can help open that door for them that they didn't expect to make them happy.
You guys crying on the podcast.
I love that.
I appreciate that answer. That's pretty heartfelt. And yeah, I know sometimes, you know, a lot of that stuff's, you know, maybe not the most comfortable to say, but I mean, we really appreciate, you know, your genuineness and, you know, your honesty and, you know, we really hope it goes a long way with us, and we hope it goes a long way with everyone listening in here too. Like, we really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, try everyone.
Everything. Try everything. Try everything. Fail. I tell people all the time, I can't remember exactly who it was. I'm gonna give Will Smith credit for it though. I believe Will Smith said it. Fail often and fail forward. Try everything, even if you screw up 1,000 times. Perfect example, golf. Cool. I love golf. I can't hit that ball freaking straight for the life of me. But it takes that one shot. That one shot. I'm failing all the time. Failing. Cool. My goal in golf is to find more golf balls than I lose. That's my goal. I was like, I don't even care about a score. I like to go out and just hit a ball. But fail often, fail forward, you know. So keep having fun no matter what you're doing, and just keep moving forward and learn from it. Even if it's the little things, just keep learning, having fun, moving forward in life and moving yourself to be a better person.
That's great. Staying on kind of you starting and sitting, was there anyone that you kind of can attribute your pushing you into sitting, or was there anyone specifically?
Well, the first top three people I met in sitting volleyball were Dixie Collins, Bill Hameter, and Brent Rasmussen. So those were the first three at the time. It was Dixie was the assistant, one of the assistant coaches. Bill Hameter was the head coach at the time, and Brent Rasmussen was the captain at the time. Those were my three top people that helped wasn't necessarily push, but just help encourage, you know, kind of just help guide into sitting volleyball and introduce me to the ways of the sport and how to move forward in it. Aside from that, it was really just, like I said, it was trial and error. I tried a whole bunch of sports and had a lot of fun trying them, and just kind of just resonated and really sat with volleyball as the sport that I want to pursue and the sport that I want to try to drive and be better at.
First of all, I just want to say thank you for your service. And for our listeners and fans that don't know, can you share a little bit about your time serving in the Army?
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
like when you joined, and maybe a favorite story you have from your time serving.
Oh, geez. The military in general was a lot of fun for me. So there's not a favorite. We'll start with the favorite moment. It's not necessarily a moment, but I got paid to shoot guns and blow things up. That's kind of like, it's kind of like my favorite thing, period. It's like, all right, cool. You're going to pay me to shoot this gun and then shoot other guns and blow things up over here and off in that distance. Let's go. Let's have some fun with this. So that's kind of like the highlight of my military career. So I graduated high school in 2002, went to college, played some soccer, realized really fast that college wasn't for me. I actually realized in that first semester that I wasn't able to juggle sports, life, and everything that goes along with moving into college. So I actually signed... actually signed my paperwork to go into the Army Reserve during my time in college. And then once I realized that college wasn't going to be for me and the route that I wanted to pursue, I wanted to go into the military. So then I signed my active duty paperwork. Went to arrived at basic training in October of 2003. The craziest Halloween ever. Literally, I showed up to basic training on Halloween day. Wild. But did my time there. So October of 2003, graduated basic training from Fort Benning, Georgia. And then was my active duty station was the 101st Airborne, Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Did my time there and then ended up I deployed to Iraq in October of 2005. I was hit with a roadside bomb in northern Iraq in December of 2005. And then medically retired, did my full rehab. Well, okay, so we'll backtrack. I was hit with a roadside bomb in December of 2005, was medevaced to Germany, did a few days in Germany, and then was medevaced back to the States. I arrived at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C., and did a full year of rehab there. Medically retired in December of 2006. And along that time, like I stated earlier, that's where I discovered disabled sports. The window was never really open to me. Me figure that was early enough in the war that there wasn't a whole lot of amputees coming out. And the disabled scene really didn't make a big picture or a big push as it did later in the war in Iraq, where you're starting to see some of these guys make mainstream, make head news, like Oscar Pistorius ran in the Olympics, and some of these other athletes are starting to make a bigger dent in letting people know, hey, we're out here, we're working hard, we're striving towards this goal. Hey, come check us out, support us. We're doing things that are phenomenal. Things are just fantastic things. And so during my time at Walter Reed, where I discovered disabled sports, and slowly but surely medically retired and made the move to come to Edmond in February of 2007.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. Greatly appreciate it. And again, thank you so much for your service and sacrifice there.
Yeah.
Hey, not a problem. I had a blast.
No pun intended.
Right. No, every pun intended. That's my joke. It's one of those jokes people are like, when they get it, they just do one of these.
Are you serious right now?
I'm like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Bad jokes.
So kind of keeping it rolling, talking a little bit more about, your introduction, to the national team. How were you first added, to the roster there? And then you talk about the big three, including Bill Hammeter and company, helping, kind of segue you there and just kind of keep you, like you said, guide you there too. If you want to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, I was fortunate that shortly after I moved to Edmond, Oklahoma. I saw success within myself. Sure, the sport brand new to me, trying to figure it out, trying to learn it, super hard. So I was super blessed to make the Pan Am roster for the games that were in Rio in 2007. I think that was. I got the silver hanging up on the wall over there. That's why I looked over. But yeah, I was very blessed to make that roster. Within that same year, just being added. That was the initial where I got to see the extent of how big sports and how big the Paralympic, even just the Pan American Games, could be with being North and South America. Getting to see all these athletes come together and just really have fun and enjoy what they're doing. So that's that was how everything started for me. And I had some other friends that I made in just the short years where they did track and field. Roger Green, my best friend, he came from track and field over to sitting volleyball. So during that first event, he introduced me and showed me things on the track and field side where we went to a couple different events, and it was great to watch, great to see. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't even realize there's this side of this, but that was a lot of fun. I mean, that's like the beginning of how everything from there. And then I've been very fortunate that over the years, I've been fortunate to be named to numerous traveling rosters and have been to a handful of Pan American games. Unfortunately, I've only gone to the Rio games. I missed London. I missed China. I made the Rio games, and we're getting ready to battle for the final spot to go to Paris. So that'll be exciting, stressful, but you know, that's why we play sports. Mm-hmm. For the exciting moments that happen and just everything that comes along with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like you guys have a really, really good tight-knit community there, you know, between you and all of your teammates there too, you know, very sibling-like, very supportive. But can you talk about the difference in nerve? Like, you know, when you're first walking into the gym, you don't really know too many people, you're competing with, all these athletes and getting to know them, kind of that compared to, you know, how it is now and how it's kind of changed for you. It could be, you know, just physically, mentally.
Yeah. I mean, so when you first come into the gym, well, just me being, I'm just learning the sport. So coming into the gym right off of it, from what I can remember, I wish I had film. God, that would be fun to watch. Just, you know, you sit down with some of these athletes and you're used to just smacking a ball around, literally. That's all you're trying to do when you're playing at some of these events. You're just smacking a ball around, having some fun and having a good time. And then you sit down and you play with people that have played the sport for a couple of years, and you're like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like. This, and you're just like, it's a little intimidating. You want to try super hard, especially when you first sit down and you're like, oh, I want to do everything. Just I'm all over the place. And you were like, I remember like first time I got in, I think it was my first international match. I want to say it was against Costa Rica at the Pan American Games in 07. And I was like, and I remember people saying, just calm down, just relax and do what you know. And I want to get in. I just want to be like, let's do everything. I got this. But it's a lot. Now looking at it, and I'm just like, I just walk into the gym. I'm like, I know the sport. I know what I got to do. I got teammates. I got five other people on the court with me. Just go out, trust them to do their jobs. I got my job. We always joke, ball goes a little bit off the court. Oh, James got it. Go chase. It's like, all right. So, but it's nice that a lot of guys are working to push the envelope and working to build the sport to be better, more dynamic, and trying to push the envelope with the sport and push the rules as far as making things a little bit more challenging, making things adapting to how fast the game is becoming. Some of the teams are running really fast offenses and it's really hard, but you know, it's everybody's trying to push the envelope and do better and be better. So it's nice. It's a constant learning experience. At the same time, we also have guys coming up through that pipeline that, like this weekend, we got the development program. When we can, some of the national players are able to step in and help out, whether it's just be there and offer some assistance or show them how to move different things. Because like I stated earlier, the sport's all about moving with your hands and playing with your hands. And in the beginning, that is the hardest. Hell, even now, that is the hardest thing to do. Sometimes you move with your hands, you just kind of just lay back. Just hit me with the ball. Just hit me. You try to put yourself in the right position and just hope for the best. But like I said, everything is a constant. Try to be ahead of the curve as much as you want, but I always feel like you're always trying to build to get to a higher part of that curve rather than be ahead of the curve. You're trying to make the curve higher and trying to build to it.
Mm-hmm. I know we have a couple questions kind of leading up to, you know, more team centric and talking with those goals, but do you have any personal goals for yourself kind of, you know, leading into just the 2024 season overall?
I mean, so, well, I, golly, trying to think. I can't remember the exact dates, but I'm recently coming off of left shoulder surgery. So it was all about getting back into it and just getting back to building. And I mean, I'm over a year out from shoulder surgery, but it's always that lingering. So building back to be better. So leading up to this event, China, my goal is to take care of body weight a little bit. We'll start that over. Coming into China and getting ready for that, it was always about, taking care of like body weight and focusing on becoming a stronger and more athletic person. I wasn't necessarily out of shape, but shoulder surgery and everything, you put on a little bit of weight, a little extra, so taking care of that, refocusing. And it was only 10 pounds, go from 230 to 220 and take care of that. And I hit my mark. So I'm down to there, and then just making sure that I can provide the best James for my team to move forward and do the best for them. Because if volleyball is a very selfless sport, you have to do the best for your team to help get them and move a group of individuals forward, because not one person can completely run a team, because there's three touches and you can only touch it once before somebody else has to touch it. So that's kind of the way it is. Just put yourself out there and put yourself at the mercy of volleyball.
So you kind of briefly touched on it. So you were at the 2016 Rio Paralympic Games. What was that Paralympic experience like for you?
Oh, golly. I mean, it's something else. I mean, it's for the being an athlete at the Rio Games, it was like it is very humbling because of the amount and the size of the games. I've never attended an Olympics, but knowing that the Paralympics is smaller significantly than the Olympics, I'm just like, I look at how massive and how excited and the athletes and everything at the Paralympics. And I'm just like, this is phenomenal. You look around, you look to your left and right, and every now and again, you just, this real? What's going on? I was like, pinch yourself. Well, I'm really here. It's like, okay, let's have a good time with this. Enjoy the moment. You know, just sit back and take it in. You can only take pictures of so much, but you kind of just want to put a GoPro on and like, cool. Like, I want to record myself sleep because I don't want to miss anything. I just want to walk around with a GoPro on my chest and see everything, because I know there's things that I've forgotten that I was like, oh yeah, that was pretty cool. That was that moment. But you try to absorb as much as possible, and seeing the amount of people at the venues, at the athletes, like I touched on, is just, it's very humbling. It's very humbling and very exciting at the same time.
So one thing I'm really curious about always is how did you like the food there? I mean, you're getting people from all over the world together in one place. So what was the food like there for you?
In Rio, it wasn't bad. I mean, I try to eat a lot of food everywhere I go. I love food. I tell people all the time. I was like, I work out to eat.
I love that.
I mean, I'm in the gym today working out with some friends and working out with some of the guys and all that. And you'll see me in the middle of lifts. I'm like, pizza. I'm yelling out
innovation.
I'm yelling out pizza toppings. You got people across the gym looking at me like, what is this guy doing? It's like, oh man. It's like, it's pizza night. Let's go. Burn those calories. So it's like, I work out to eat. I'm going to try some, I'm not going to eat too weird when I'm in China, just because I gotta make sure my stomach doesn't get all too crazy on me during the event. But is there something I'll probably step out on and try something?
Yeah.
What it is, I don't know yet. But I'll let you know. I've tried, gone to Egypt a couple times, tried some things over there. Nothing too crazy. But sometimes they say what it is and I don't believe it. I don't believe that this is what you say it is, but sure, I'm going to eat it because I'm hungry. So the food there was good selection. And they have different vendors and different things will cross in the chow hall where you can kind of have a good idea of what you want. So once again, just make smart choices.
Right.
Know what you like, eat that and try other things. Don't make weird things your main meal.
Did you have a favorite moment or a favorite story from Rio?
Oh, man. Walking in to opening ceremonies is probably just the, like I said, just the sheer, since it was my first one, just the sheer extent and size of it, walking into the arena and how massive it is. It's just, just crazy. I mean, sure, playing, yeah. Ooh, play. But get the goal. People watch me do my job. Like, let's go. It's like, let's play volleyball. Let's have some fun. Let's do this. And coming out and playing. It's like, oh, man. Actually, opening ceremony is my second. Playing against Brazil was probably my first because the home crowd for the Brazilians is phenomenal. Just playing against them in Brazil, in Rio, was great. So that was a lot of fun. And that would probably be, that'd probably be the highlight.
Mm. I mean, my own closest experience is seeing what a Brazilian crowd is like at Opens last year or even the year before. They just come to, they'll come to play and they represent. You're loud, you're going to hear them, and it's just the energy is insane. So I can't even fathom, what that's like specifically, what you mentioned. It's just probably next level. Not probably, for sure, next level, yeah.
It's great. It's like, it's not just the players come to play, but it's like the crowd comes to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, cool. Y'all are cheering against me. Cool, you guys. It's like, you guys are doing great. I was like, I love it. You get the vuvuzelas, all the horns and everything, the crowd's going off, the drums, the bells, just getting crazy. And I'm like, it's great. I love it. It's so much fun.
So you just mentioned Brazil. Were you playing in a sitting tournament or league earlier this year? Can you talk about that?
Was very fortunate that Fernando, the head coach for the women's team, also coaches a club team, Paulistano. And this is the second time I've gone down there to play. I went down in late November, early December to play for their national tournament and was very fortunate to help guide the team onto a championship. So
nice.
Had a great time doing that. Looking to go down, talk to them and hopefully defend this year again, go back down there late November, early December again and play with the club. And it's a great time. Like I said, you can catch it online. You can catch it on YouTube. They stream those there and I believe they're still up too. And the group of guys that I play with down there are, phenomenal. The language barrier is there. They'll go on and I just kind of sit back and I'm like, cool. I can understand body language and we rely on each other for volleyball. So I trust them to do their job. They trust me to do my job. All is good in love and volleyball. Let's just go. Let's party. Let's rock and roll this game. Let's have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
But love going down there. And even in, like I said, even in the club scene, I'm very fortunate that I have that door opened up to me because their sitting club is equivalent to like standing club in the States.
Oh, that's cool.
Probably the easiest way to put that.
And then you're getting reps too. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. With legitimate competitors. So now I'm building, the bonds just across the competitive scene, because where I would only see some of these players as competitors. It's like, cool. You'd see them butt heads with them on the court, argue with them, yell at each other, whatever. But now I'm building friendships with them. And we use Google Translate to sit there and hold conversations with each other. And it's phenomenal. I mean, I tell people, say, oh yeah, I got friends in Brazil. I'm going to go down to Brazil and do da da da. And they're like, what are you going to Brazil for? I'm like, I'll play volleyball. They're like, shut up. I'm like, yeah. It's like, I'm in Brazil. And they're like, you got to be kidding me, James. Come on. I'm like, well, sorry. Yeah, it's true. It's really cool.
You don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then people ask me about an off season. And I'm like, well, let's see. I go from mid January through October for USA, October, late November through mid December. I go to South America and I play volleyball down there. And it's just a constant. And I'm just, like I said, I'm very blessed and very happy that I can, that these doors have opened up through just hard work and putting your nose to the ground and just working for it.
I do know we have a couple more questions, and I think we're going to be towards the tail end of the interview, but wanted to double check, make sure you're good on time.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody from yell from downstairs.
Nobody at the gates.
There's a couple times I heard something rattle and I'm like, oh, what's going on? So yeah, I got to go. I'm after this. It's all good. The longer you guys keep me, the better. Cause I got to go out. I got to finish pressure washing my fence.
All right. We'll have some more questions. I'm just kidding.
No, I was just going to say, it's just a revolving door. It's like, it's dogs, kids, or household chores. Let's go.
I get it. No, well, kind of circling back to finally talk about, you know, the last chance, you know, to qualify, you know, it's coming up, you know, very, very soon. Obviously, you know, we know the expectations is to win and qualify and, you know, get in position there too. What are some of the team's thoughts and feelings though, like going into it?
Everybody's in good spirits. You know, we're really looking forward to the opportunity to compete. The venue and everything, we don't know all the details yet. So we're excited to see what China is going to offer for us to be able to compete and how the surrounding area is. So, excuse me, but everybody's very excited to go and compete. There's going to be a lot of good teams there. Fortunately, Canada's making the journey as well. So that's nice. We'll have two representatives from North America going to this tournament. There's going to be a lot of other hard teams there. So we're going to put our best foot forward and do what we do, play volleyball, have some fun. And it's going to be the format. I believe the format's been posted. So it's a round robin tournament. Everybody plays everybody. And then the top two best records will play for the final spot. So it's very challenging. The tournament is set up where literally every point matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where you have a bracket, you have a pool here, a pool there, and then everybody crosses up. No, every point matters because it's something the simples. If there's tiebreakers, depending on how they choose to set up tiebreakers, it cannot just come down to sets. I mean,
you can come down to points and, you know.
Yeah, points for, points against, and different things. So every single point is respectfully weighted.
Mm-hmm. So talking a little bit more on the specific side of things, I mean, every point counts, and, you know, the formats, you know, at least in, like, you know, from what I've kind of experienced with formats, it's a little different. You know, like you said, it's very high pressure from the start. I mean, obviously, most brackets are there too, but what does the team need to do from an execution standpoint to really, like everyone says, lock in from, you know, start from jump, you know?
Yeah. Very locked in. I mean, that's very cliche. So we could stick with that. But the big thing is that, you're looking at side. I mean, just the big thing is serve, receive, take care of the ball. Take care of the ball when you know when you when and how you know to, because serve, receive, you know they're going to serve it, and the ball's good. You have to take care of side out. Serve, receive, and siding out right from the get is going to is a big part of any team's success, because as we know, the longer the rally goes on, the more 50-50 it becomes. So right from the get-go, we know that it's a serve and it's a pass. Those are the easy, I mean, it's the easiest thing. It's serve, and then to flip that around, serving, putting the other team back on their heels from the service line is going to be a good one, because serving the one aspect of this game where you are in 100% control of everything. You don't have to rely on anybody else. It's your toss, your body position, your rotation, your hand placement. It's everything. It's only you. You hit that in, cool. You did your job. You get an ace. That point is yours. You hit that out, that's on you. You have to piggyback that. You have to own that, because nobody else, sure, the other team didn't touch it, but you can't put that on them. If you're going to put that on them, then you should have hit it in, then you would have got an ace. So you have to own that from the service line. So put in pressure on the other team. And I mean, just like I said, serve, receive, and taking care of the ball whenever we have the opportunity, and taking advantage of opportunities that are easier than others. Sometimes somebody's able to get a good swing, and we're fortunate the team just set a free ball over. As we all know, free balls don't happen too often in volleyball, men's or women's side. Take care of that ball when you get it, and make the other team pay for giving you that free ball. So those, just like I said, some little things that we have to take care of, as well as everybody knows, hustle for every point, fight for every point, and don't. It's not the fact that don't give your all, but I always like to look back on it and be like, nothing else I could have done for that point. They scored that point. Good for them. It's not the fact of, oh, you know, I could have hustled for that ball and I could have got that ball. Yeah, I touched my block and they scored a point. But did I try? Did I give enough? If I got to question myself for that, then I know, do better. So little things, and you hold your teammates accountable and hold yourself accountable for all your decisions, and good or bad.
So James, you mentioned it a little earlier, you're father of three. How is that competing? I mean, you mentioned it just, you know, you're going to be gone 2 weeks. So how has it been competing and being a father?
There are two different entities themselves as far as competing, being an athlete and fighting and being yourself, and then being a father. It's a lot. It's rewarding. You have to find that balance. China's going to be a little bit more stressed and a little bit harder on the aspect of being a father, just because we don't know yet what our internet accessibility is going to be. So that being stated, I've already talked to my boys and did different things to be like, hey, look, might not be able to communicate as much as I have in the past. As if I go, for instance, whenever I go to South America and go down to Brazil, playing with those guys or anything of that nature, I'm able to communicate often. You know, fortunate that I can hook up the internet and it's easy. I'm going to China, I don't know, but being with the kids as much time as possible, is kind of just being with them and providing a good solid figure. Being a good solid figure and being a male presence in their life is first and foremost. And that's what I put above everything. And it's important that they see that too. That's the big thing. I try to take them to the gym whenever we have time. So over the summer months, some of the boys will go with me to volleyball practice. They'll help shag balls. They'll run around, have a good time. We try to, when possible, when it's safe for them, we try to incorporate them in some drills, whether it's, you know, they'll toss a ball in, or they'll have some fun in between water, do water breaks. And since the net's low enough, you know, my little 6-year-old, he'll run out and we'll play and throw the ball over the net, or it's fun. We'll joust. I'll throw a ball up and we'll just joust at the net and have some fun. This is, I mean, being able to incorporate them in something that I have such a large passion for and is my full-time job. I'm very fortunate to say that is extremely rewarding compared to some of other jobs where it's not their parents have to be gone for extended periods of time. This is probably the easiest way to say that. I'm very fortunate that every day when the kids come home from school, I'm able to be here. Some days I am able to see them off the school. And then I'm also here when they come home from school. And it's like, wow, this is great. And like I said, I have other teammates and athletes that are able to provide positive role models, positive male role models in their lives as well. And then vice versa, I'm able to be positive role models for their children, whether they are, like I said, boys or girls. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's cool getting them out on the court with you too. So how often are they getting interested in volleyball?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been thinking, as well as sitting, I also play standing volleyball for fun. I also play standing volleyball when the opportunity is allowed, because as we know, gearing up for this tournament, I chose not to step onto a standing volleyball court I chose not to step onto a standing volleyball court or anything of that that could potentially impede me with a, let's say, even a rolled ankle, you know, a rolled ankle or something silly to hurt my team, hurt the USA sitting team, put any thought in my teammates that I'm not taking this seriously. So that being said, they love going out, for instance, to summer's coming around, sand volleyball. And my youngest loves going out there, and there's a little area where they can build sandcastles and have fun, play, run around with their friends. And it's good community. Very fortunate that Oklahoma has a good sand community, and there's a lot of kids go out there, and it's a lot of fun. So my 10 and 12 year old, they play a little bit of volleyball in the house, pass, set. They're both also involved in basketball, soccer. I mean, kids, they play in a pool. So I try to do, like I stated earlier, that I try to give them every opportunity that I can to do whatever they want and try as much as they want. Because I know growing up, I was very fortunate to try a lot of sports. As I stated, I played soccer, baseball, swimming, football, I did lacrosse, basketball. So I just to name the ones that came to mind immediately, but I try to give them all those opportunities that I can just to maybe find their little niche and just be kids, you know? Cool. Sure. You want to run around in your underwear in the backyard? Go for it. You're about to bounce on the trampoline. It's raining. Did that yesterday. Go for it. Have fun. Be a kid. You know, you cannot get those moments back. So, yeah, I just like to try to give them as many opportunities as I can to just be free and live without a worry. Because as we all know, as adults, those go away pretty quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Start getting rules and start getting jobs and start getting all this other. It's like, oh gosh, I just want to just have fun.
Yeah. Nah, I feel that. Yeah. But I mean,
James, thank you so much for just kind of taking the time and, you know, giving us such genuine and heartfelt answers. And honestly, the real answers too, you know, it's been everything from, you know, serious to, you know, laugh worthy too. We really appreciate you just, you know, taking the time to, you know, to be a guest on the show. I mean, we really, 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 really appreciate it too. But before we, you know, officially wrap things up, are there any other, you know, words of advice or last words you want to leave us with before, you know, I know you got a lot to take care of, on the side for the rest of your day, too. Anything you want to leave us with, you know, where people can find on social media, where people can follow, you know, obviously the sitting team and all that good stuff there.
We have with Instagram, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. Try to do my best to post all those, but man, that shit's a lot too. On top of volleyball,
that's a whole full time job too.
I'm like, oh my god, I feel like I'm gonna hire somebody to do that. I'm about to get my 12 year old like, you just take over my Instagram account. the men's sitting team is on all social media platforms as well. I'm on, like you said, Instagram. Yeah, James Stuck. They'll be there on Instagram, Facebook. It's an honor to be here. And I mean, I said it in a USA Volleyball interview before, nothing worth anything is free. So go out, try everything and earn what you want and take it. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
But thank you for having me. It's been it's been an honor. It's a pleasure. And I look forward to working hard in China and doing what I can to try to earn this spot, getting ready for the Paris Games, and then looking forward and getting excited and getting a little geeked out for LA.
Awesome. James, thank you so very much for taking the time. We greatly appreciate you.
Hey, not a problem. My pleasure. Like I said, honored and privileged. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck to you and the team, and safe travels to China.
Thank you so much. It's going to be a long one. It's 2.5 days to get there.
Woo. Long day. Long couple of days.
A long day. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows how much sleep we're going to get. But
all right.
So, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Take it easy. Have a good one.
All right. You as well. Thank you so much.
Like I said, I mean, interview didn't disappoint. Got a little emotional there across I was across the conversations there too. But you just see the strength, heart, dedication, passion, and love for the game, and just love for not only the game of sitting volleyball, but adaptive sports too. And I can't imagine, you know, what it's like to have that kind of strength to come back, from a life-changing injury, not only like James talked about too, but like many of, you know, adaptive athletes, one of many adaptive athletes that, you know, they incur and encounter, it's just insane. And it's just so respectable that they come back and are able to find a niche in their respective sport. Like he mentioned, try everything, try it. You won't know until you get out there and really try. And it's just a matter of, you're never going to be comfortable, and kind of trickles into that. I mean, of course, this is a different situation of, finding that comfortableness in that sense. But yeah, I respect the hell out of James for that. And, you know, him being vulnerable and saying literally exactly how he feels about the situation, and talked about how much he loved being, in the service, and, you know, how, you know, his injury came about there too. But what an interesting life. What an amazing individual. And I can't wait to get him back on our podcast, man.
For real.
James, and also meet him in person.
Yeah. James is such a great guy. And just sharing everything that he shared with us, it was very appreciative to just the deep dive he took with us. I mean, talked about his time serving, talked about his family so much. I mean, and that was awesome. Just compare it, like how he's able to just be both. He's a father, he's a Paralympian, he's athlete. I mean, all of that. It's super cool to see. And one thing he shared that I really liked was his Friday night movie night, pizza nights with his family. So that was always cool to just have that scheduled time with your family every week. You're all together eating, just enjoying time together. That was really fun. But yeah, James, thank you so very much for taking the time to sit down with us, especially as you're traveling or you're actually in China now, but at the time you were about to leave to go to China. So yeah, appreciate the sitting down with us. It was an awesome conversation.
I second everything Curtis just said as well. Just kind of moving forward, I think it's time to get into some upcoming events. Curtis, you want to take it away again?
Yeah, so starting out, we have the Pacific Northwest Girls National Qualifier, Weekend 3, April 5th through the 7th in Spokane, Washington. Next, we have the Lone Star Girls National Qualifier, Weekend 1, April 6th through the 8th in Dallas. Salt Lake City Showdown Girls National Qualifier, Weekend 1, that's 13s through 15s, April 6th through the 8th in Salt Lake City. Show Me Girls National Qualifier, Weekend 1, April 6th through the 8th in Kansas City. Be sure to try the barbecue if you're out there. It's fantastic.
Ooh, Casey Joe's, man.
Ooh. Oh, my favorite.
I miss it.
USA Volleyball Beach Tour Florida National Qualifier, April 6th through the 7th in Tavares, Florida. Salt Lake City Showdown Girls National Qualifier, Weekend 2, that's 11s, 12s, and then 16 to 17s. April 12th through the 14th in Salt Lake City. Again, be sure to say hi to Clarence because he'll be out there basically the whole month of April. Show Me Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2, April 12th through the 14th in Kansas City. Again, get the barbecue. Far Western Girls National Qualifier Weekend 1, April 13th through the 15th in Reno. Lone Star Girls National Qualifier Weekend 2, April 13th through the 15th in Dallas. USA Volleyball Beach Tour Chesapeake Wave Spring National Qualifier, April 13th through the 14th in Clearbrook, Virginia. Good luck to all of those athletes and clubs competing. More details and all upcoming events can be found at usavolleyball.org.
And really quick, too, just to shout out all the regions that are putting on all these qualifiers across the country. I mean, I'm thankful enough to be a coach who gets to travel to some of these, too. I've just experienced Spokane for the first time. I've experienced Big South last year. I experienced Reno last year over in Far Western. I'm probably missing a few. Going to get the opportunity to experience Salt Lake as a coach as well. And it's just a lot of hard work goes into it. And shout out to all the regions for putting on very quality and competitive qualifiers on the boys and girls side. And also shout out to all the officials that take the time out of their busy schedules to officiate and make these events better as well. Also, a total another side note, for both weekends happening in Salt Lake City Showdown, we're actually doing a special collaboration for the first time ever with one of our very passionate officials named Kaya Lynch, and the program is called Refs Giving. That's right, Refs Giving.
I like
you. Stop by Championship Desk number 2, located in Hall C of the Salt Palace Convention Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. During any portion or any time of tournament playing, you're going to see a donation bin that's labeled and branded with the Refs Giving branding. You can donate anything on a line along the lines of gently used or new winter coats. You can donate non-perishable food, and you can donate new toiletries. And all of these items will be collected each weekend and then donated to a charitable organization to help give back to the homeless community and helps give back to the homeless community and the communities that are in need in the Salt Lake City area. We don't know who's going to donate. We don't know how many, jackets, coats, non-perishable food and all that stuff there, and toiletries that we're going to be able to really collect and donate. But thanks to the sustainability department that the Salt Palace Convention Center has to offer, we do have a lot of very good organizations who are ready to just accept what we're able to give them and help make a cause for the better too. So shout out to Kaya Lynch, the official who founded Refs Giving, and shout out to everyone who will be donating in Salt Lake City. If you have room in your check bag or your carry-on, it'll go a long way. So just wanted to give a big shout out to the Refs Giving program and everyone involved in doing big things and making an impact there. So
that's so awesome, especially with it now being spring. Like, get rid of those old coats and help some people out at the same time. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's hard to throw that little plug in there, but
I like it. Now, yeah.
I think now we should head on over to the prump side of things. Up first, we got the 2024 World Paravolley Men's Final Paralympic Qualifier in Dali, China. Starts today, April 3rd through the 10th. Tune in to usavolleyball.org for streaming details. After that, we have the Beach Pro Tour Futures Tahiti, men only, April 2nd through the 6th. We also have the 2024 Norseca Santo Domingo, April 4th through 8th in the Dominican Republic. After that, we have Norseca Playoff 2, April 5th in Manhattan Beach, California. After that, we have the Beach Pro Tour Futures Women Only, April 9th through the 13th in Tahiti. After that, Beach Pro Tour Challenge Guadalajara, April 10th through the 14th in Mexico. And last but not least, we have the Beach Pro Tour Futures Nuvali, April 11th through the 14th in the Philippines. They go to so many fun places. They just get a chance to go experience cool beaches, cool locations, all international. Shout out to everyone competing on the pro side of things. Good luck to everyone competing as well. Safe travels in addition to that. You can visit and check out for more information and keep up with all of these events on usavolleyball.org and also for men's and women's national team updates from the pro leagues. With that being said, Curtis, go ahead and wrap us up.
Remember, listeners can write and review, share with your families, friends, teammates, aunts, uncles, cousins, you name it, anyone, next door neighbors even. It really helps the podcast grow, reach new listeners. Also, be sure to check out the video episode so you can see our beautiful faces, as well as, just watching our guests. It's kind of gives a different element to the podcast. We thank you for your continued support. We just love you all. So thanks for listening. And if you know of a club that should be featured or a story you'd like us to share, you can email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Anything you want to know, put it down. Send us an email. Drop us a line. And remember, new episodes drop every other week. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson. Produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.